protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Howdy, damn toddy, says Troy Davis, 7721. Hello, friends. Ben Garrett here. It's live at Lane. I'm at Spirit Ben on Twitter. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Food of On 3. Brad Logan will be joining us after Lane's press conference, which is happening right now in about like 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. I bet that would be the long end of it, though. So sooner rather than later, going to hear from Brad Logan after Ole Miss defeats South Carolina. 30-14 to move to 8-1 on the year overall, 5-1 in the SEC. They're beelining towards the college football playoff berth. On their way. They're rolling, and I know it's amongst a bunch of stuff going on in Rebel Land, especially on the internet. We want to get to a lot of post-game reaction. Here on Live After Lane, we do a lot of things. One, we talk about what Lane said, obviously, on this now again. 8-1, 5-1 in the SEC, number 7 in the country, 30-14, best defensive effort of the year, I think. Brad Logan's coming up in just a minute. We talk about that. We give out helmet stickers to the best Rebels of the night. I'm going to go ahead and say Sonny P is getting a helmet sticker. Go ahead and count that for him. Best game of, for sure, the season for him. He got his first sack, also an interception. But I would say arguably the greatest performance of his career to date. And this is a guy that was preseason All-American. Had really disappointed as far as a pass rusher. 10.5 sacks to tie Princely Umanmielen last year. And yet, it just hasn't been the same. They've changed the way they utilize Suntaren Perkins. They use him like LSU has used Harold Perkins more in a drop-back linebacker, traditional linebacker type of role. And it's been up and down. Today, it was up as it can get. Suntaren Perkins was an absolute animal. Led Ole Miss, or tied for the team lead with Cam Franklin, who continues to come on as an all-league caliber player. 6 total tackles, 2 solos, 1.5 sacks for Suntaren Perkins, the first of the year for him. A tackle, 1.5 tackles for loss, the interception, quarterback hurry, and he wasn't the only one that showed up again. Cam Franklin, Wydette Williams, the transfer safety from ULM, he got him an interception. William Eccles continues to come on. Prince Will, Princely's younger brother, who had a monster game at Oklahoma, looked good again this week against Lenora Sellers in South Carolina, 30-14 Ole Miss win, 4 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, got banged up. Obviously, we'll ask Brad about that if Lane said anything about Prince Will in the post game. But a complete effort for the defense. Offensively, they had some issues as far as red zone, especially. But as I sit here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch, I didn't get to go to the game today. My oldest daughter, Gracie, there she is. That's Gracie, 13 years old, her first junior varsity soccer game for the New Albany Bulldogs. I was in Starkville for most all the day, and then I'd been telling my daughters, yes, I will put up the Christmas tree on November 1st. So I did all of these things. Fortunately, Brad's coming to us live from the stadium here shortly after the 30-14 win for Ole Miss over South Carolina. We'll have full coverage of the win at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and a Foot of On 3. A lot of helmet stickers to give out, some the play that maybe swung the game, because there are a lot of them for me. But really, more than anything else, Ole Miss continues to push forward in the playoff path, and it was because of the defense. It wasn't because of the offense. As bad as it was against Georgia, not getting a single stop, the only blemish on their resume is losing at Georgia by a touchdown. This was the first time this year Ole Miss has played a game where they won by double digits. Every other game was single possession games. So to get this game, to get this win as they did, was impressive and something they haven't done all year. And it really, brings into question, or brings into focus, I guess you could say, the whole Lane rumor stuff. And I don't know if a lot of you are aware, but I'm sure most of you are. If you subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, affiliate of Own 3, sign up today for just $1. I love that some of you know that I got that down pat. That's hilarious to me. If you subscribe there, or also for Neil and Chase over at Rebels 247, Chase, I haven't read it. I've been in start for all day watching Gracie kick butt. She was a wall on defense, folks. I was so proud of her. And Reese Klemmer scored her two goals, played fantastic. Lucy Osborne made the play of the day as the goalie coming out. But, you know, now it's work time. Ole Miss is 30-14. And one thing that sticks out to me is Chase, for example, today, what stuck out for all of us on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, especially once I started paying attention to things, is apparently Chase, but I haven't read it. This is not my words. I don't want to speak for him, but Chase is reporting something to the extent of, you know, it's wide open whether or not Lane Kiffin stays or goes to Florida. And that caused a panic, you know, because Chase is great. But I think what we've learned today is that all of that is nonsense when against the backdrop of Ole Miss is on a beeline path, not just to the college football playoff, but potentially a national championship the first since the 60s. I'm telling you guys, no matter what happens, and I agree with Chase, in my opinion, like mine's a little different. The stuff I've been hearing is this. It's very simple, because we had another question early on as y'all are waiting to jump on with me here, and Brad Logan will join me quickly. But somebody wanted to know what the gossip was online. He's talking about that stuff. He's talking about Chase's reporting on his site, which I didn't read for myself, but I've heard enough things. People have texted me about it. It's Florida, or it's an extension with Ole Miss. He has an extension on the table. He's had one on the table for weeks. It's not going to be anything that Ole Miss doesn't give him, be it average annual value. Ole Miss is willing to go as high as $13.5 million, if not more, to keep Lane Kiffin. There will be no reason other than Lane just wanted to go to Florida if he leaves and goes to Florida. I don't think LSU is an option, though. LSU wants him. He's number one on their want list, but it's an absolute disaster down there. And Lane has choices. And I think that Florida is uniquely situated to sway him to potentially leave Ole Miss, but it's going to be hard. And as long as Ole Miss keeps winning, the timeline becomes more complicated. Even more than that, however, whatever happens, if Ole Miss keeps winning, you'll get what you've always wanted, Ole Miss fan, a national championship, the first since the 60s. And not only that, it'll be one of the most coveted jobs open in a market that will be unlike any other. Because it's not just Florida, it's not just LSU, it's not just Penn State, it's not just Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Auburn's about to come open. And Lane Kiffin is the guy atop every single coaching hot board. The only one I'm taking seriously is Florida. So I think Chase is right in that, you know, Lane could end all of this today by signing the deal, which guarantees him more than anything Ole Miss has guaranteed any coach ever across the board. Pick your thing, because he is not going to be wanting for coach salary, his own salary, NIL budget. I mean, y'all have raised funds just this week in the Grove Collective. I know that for an absolute fact. Donations going up. At the end of the day, Ole Miss is going to be one of the most desirable jobs ever, and they keep winning. They're 8-1 now. Next week, they're going to be 9-1 after they beat the Citadel. Then it's Florida, the Lane Kiffin Bowl. That is Florida the week after that. Mississippi State, fortunately, we've been talking about it here on Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing. I'm in the Riverland Roofing New Albany branch tonight, since I've been in Starkville all day to see my oldest daughter, Gracie, play her first JV soccer game. They won 2-1 over Starkville. She played great. I was so proud of her. So I didn't get to go to the South Carolina game. I was watching it right there with y'all while putting up a Christmas tree, I'd promised to my daughters, for probably a couple of months now. So it was a lot of fun, and now we come to you after Ole Miss moves to 8-1 in the Riverland Roofing New Albany Branch Studio, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. They do so much for us, not just here at Talk of Champions, but the Ole Miss Spirit, the website that I write for, the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, affiliate of Ole Miss. Sign up for today for just $1. Brad Logan, a contributor at the Ole Miss Spirit, is going to be coming to us live at any minute now after Lane held his postgame press conference and following Ole Miss's 30-14 win over South Carolina. And that's the thing. The timeline becomes more and more complicated. As we wait for Brad and we hand out helmet stickers and who won the week stuff, we'll do all of these things. I know a lot of people want to know about this stuff. Again, I didn't see Chase's full report. He was even reporting. He's got to talk to his people on the board. That's what we all want y'all to do. But I know that Keith Carter after that one is happy as hell. You know, that's the text I'm raising right now. Keith is happy. One of the people I trust the most in this business. Keith is happy as shit for whatever that's worth. And another high up Ole Miss staffer, he isn't going anywhere. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a coin flip. Lane's really feeling himself right now, but who cares? Ole Miss is 8-1. I think the job is bigger now than Lane Kiffin. For the longest, it was only Lane Kiffin. I don't think that's the case anymore. Not to say that Ole Miss wouldn't have a drop-off, you know, that the hire just wouldn't replicate what Lane Kiffin did. But I think the concerns and the worries are different now. I think it's different. Well, I don't know. Ben, what the hell are Twitter and behind-the-scenes folks talking about? That Lane hasn't signed an extension that guarantees him whatever he wants across the board, and he could do that, while Dan Lanning and everybody else comes out and says, no, I'm staying where I am. Kurt Cignetti signs an extension, and Lane can't do any of that. That's what they're talking about, and Chase is right on Rebels 247. It's been on the table. He could stop all of this right now, but he won't. He's entertaining Florida. That is true. I think it's his best to coin flip right now. But I also don't think that LSU is much of a threat at all either for this. But he's going to keep driving his price up more and more. I'm saying to the Ole Miss fan, they're 8-1, and quite literally the thing that everyone – like the whole purpose of this entire operation that is college football and Ole Miss football is to win a national championship. As long as they continue to take these steps, the focus is on the wrong thing. Lane leaves or doesn't, I think it'll be Florida or an Ole Miss extension, one of those two. If you made me guess, I'd still say probably an Ole Miss extension, but Lane could end all of this like Chase reported at any time, and he hasn't. So that's what they're talking about. But I'm saying, man, let it be what it is. Ole Miss is 8-1. Last year, 9-3 with the third most, or third highest amount of draftees in the NFL draft, and Ole Miss was 9-3 by all measures. And everyone would tell you to a man, a failure. They let people down. This team, it wasn't supposed to be as talented. It was supposed to be a rebuild, if not a reset. 20 of 22 of their all 22 replaced, and yet they're 8-1. I'm saying maybe Ole Miss operationally is in that good of a place now to where it's not just about Lane Kiffin. I think we need to change the conversation in that way, especially considering what a big, big night, what a big night it was for the Ole Miss Rebels. So now we're going to bring in my friend Brad Logan. Brad is live. Hey, Brad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Ben, I'm going to have to log back out and log back in. I've got a big-time echo, so I'm going to...
Okay, let's let him get his technical stuff done. That's fine. Brad is about to join us live from the field and following Lane Kiffin's press conference. Ole Miss beats South Carolina 30-14. And this is what really matters. This is all that matters. Ole Miss now has an 85% chance now to make the college football playoff after beating South Carolina. Now that you've got the hardest part of your schedule behind you, these last games, yes, you can trip up against Mississippi State, against Florida. Florida looked pretty dead gum good today against Georgia. The Lane Kiffin Bowl is what it's setting up to be in a couple of weeks. But in Mississippi State, getting that SEC win, that was what we've been talking about on Talk of Champions. Been worried that the most We Are Ole Miss moment thing would happen. Only have one loss going to state, and that costs you the playoff, and they get their first win in 17 SEC, or at that point, 20 SEC games. But now Mississippi State's got one on the ledger, so just go down there and take care of business. And Ole Miss took care of business today. So a lot of storylines, but the most important thing, Brad Logan, is that Ole Miss is 8-1. First and foremost, what did Lane say in his postgame presser?
Pretty much he thanked the fans, and he thought that it was a great environment. And Ben, for folks watching, when they sang the Garth Brooks song, I Got Friends in Low Places, and then they sang Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, this place was electric. And I had a chance to visit with Drew Ingraham, and he was all smiles at the end of the game. I mean, obviously a big game. For folks that don't know, he's over fan engagement. He kind of oversees all of the fan engagement inside the stadium, and it was a raucous crowd. Now, Lane Kiffin went to social channels, Ben, as you know, and everyone watching and listening, he went to social channels and said, we need to fill up the vault. They did that tonight. The students stayed the entire game. It was a win-win. The only thing that really didn't show up a lot tonight, Ben, was the offense. It was a rough night for Trinidad Chambliss. But I think more than anything, Lane Kiffin talked about that and said, we had to specifically go conservative tonight. Trinidad did not have his best game, so they took the air out of the ball. They ran the ball with our man, Kawan Lacey, who was really good tonight. And I just left the press conference and I asked Lane, you know, I'd ask you you know, after that Georgia State game, fast forward here against South Carolina, you know, midway to towards the end of the season, where's the offensive line? And he admitted, when you have that many big-time defenses you face on that defensive front, counting Oklahoma, counting South Carolina, counting Georgia, and only give up what? A couple of sacks. I mean, I think that says a lot. I mean, I've just been a huge proponent of this offensive line the last couple of games, really over the last five or six games. And I thought they stepped up today, but it's all about the defense. I mean, you and I have been talking about Suntarian Perkins. Got the sack, got the interception. I'm so happy tonight, Ben, that we can give Suntarian Perkins the game ball. And he may get the biggest game ball of them all.
He might. Who else are you giving helmet stickers to? I've already said Sonny P. You're going to give one to Sonny P. One guy that really stuck out to me defensively, and it was really good to see, and I wanted to note about it. Like, it's been a very muted, you know, production level so far for Deshaun Womack, the transfer from LSU.
Yeah.
It hasn't been what Ole Miss was hoping it would be. But tonight, man, he showed up. Yes, only one tackle. But he ended up getting a sack. He got a tackle for loss. He had two quarterback hurries. He looked like somebody, or he looked like the player Ole Miss was hoping it was getting, that raw former five-star talent that could really rush the passer. And they haven't gotten that until tonight. And it's really an all-encompassing thing too, Brad. It's not just Suntarian, who by far gets the number one game ball, number one helmet sticker. It's that. But Deshaun Womack and Prince Wiliamanmielen, Cam Franklin, Will Echols, the best night collectively, not just for the defense, but especially for this new look, no longer new look because now you're nine games in, for goodness sake, but this offensive line that completely was made over in the offseason, this group is something serious. I think they ended up with six total sacks. Yeah, six sacks and eight tackles for loss. What a great collective performance by them. I want to give all of those guys credit, but certainly a helmet sticker to Deshaun Womack because I, for one, have been pretty hard on him.
I have to. I've been very hard on him, and I thought he played good tonight. And, hey, you just nailed it. Andrew Jones is getting a helmet sticker tonight. He was really good. I asked Lane in the press conference. I was like, Lane, you know, where did this guy come from? He just kind of came out of nowhere the last couple of weeks. And he said, well, it's all about special teams play. And he said it's all about participating in practice. It's being a great practice player, and it's performing when you get your number called in the game. And he's a great reason that this Ole Miss defense was so good tonight. And he's also a great story for high school players, for college players, especially in the world of NIL, Ben. You know, when you participate in practice and you make a difference and you get that opportunity in the game, number one, you've got to get the opportunity. But number two, you have to back it up, and you have to make, you know, make all of that work come to fruition. And he's done that. Another helmet sticker, I'm giving it to Oscar Byrd. That was a called fake punt. And I love a good special team play. And that was a big play and, you know, a big first down at the time. What I really like about Lane Kiffin and what we've seen over the advent of his tenure here at Ole Miss, and once again, having a kicker like Carnero being as money as he is, who's also getting another game ball from me, having that two-score lead, and all of a sudden, Ole Miss just expounds it. I was in the elevator when they scored the last touchdown, so I didn't hear that one. But having that two-score lead is all about what Lane Kiffin wants to do. And I thought that was a big, big deal, taking the air out of the ball on the south end of the stadium, right to my left, getting the field goal, getting the two-score lead, and the game was essentially over at that point.
What was the post-game scene like? Obviously, most everybody was talking about – I mean, that's one of the first questions I got in here before you got here.
Yeah.
It was about all the Lane Kiffin rumors. I don't know exactly what Chase reported or whatever on Rebels 247, but certainly it's obvious that he's listening to Florida, if nothing else. But in the post game, certainly seemed like he and Keith Carter were getting along and all this kind of stuff. I know that Ole Miss and Keith Carter have put everything on the table for him to accept before we get to more helmet stickers or game balls, whatever you want to call. What did that post game celebration or just on the field afterwards look like?
Yeah. It was absolutely just like it's been all year. There was no difference. The only reason I know anything about those reports was it made its way onto the On3 board. We know Chase and Neil do wonderful work. But as for anything that happened in the post game, that was not addressed whatsoever. At the end of the day, if Ole Miss continues, and you didn't ask, but I'll opine on this, as long as Ole Miss continues in a playoff push, I don't expect you'll hear anything. Lane's not going to leave a playoff caliber team to go to another job. I mean, what's probably going to happen is that at the end of the year, there'll be decisions made. I don't anticipate Lane making a decision one way or the other. But then again, when you get inside Lane Kiffin's head, that's a fool's errand. He is someone that walks to the beat of his own drum. And yeah, JD, it's a great day to be a Rebel. Anytime that you win, you get another step closer to the college football playoff. To Ben and I, it's really important, I think, to get to the SEC championship game. But at the end of the day, I get it. It's all about getting to the college football playoff and making a run for the national championship, and I get all that. But after your question, Ben, there was nothing. There was some scuttlebutt in the press box. Outside of that, not a whole lot about Lane Kiffin and his job hunting, if you will, here at Ole Miss.
I would say that Ole Miss, like for a lot of old Ole Miss people, the SEC championship game would be a hell of an experience. I remember, you know, growing up, I'm 40 years old now, and growing up, man, if Ole Miss could just get to Atlanta, because the national championship seemed far too, I don't know, it just seems too fantastical. These days, you know, if Ole Miss is left out, even if they're undefeated or have only one loss, that might behoove them, because I don't know if two lost teams making the playoff anyway, right? So if you're Ole Miss, just keep winning, and if you make Atlanta, whether or not make Atlanta, it really isn't a big deal. I know it used to mean a lot, but it really doesn't matter. It could actually deter you in some way as far as making a playoff push. So that's the kind of stuff that's been de-emphasized now that you've gotten a 12-team playoff, for better or worse. And for me, I do kind of miss the how we used to prop up the SEC title games and all that kind of stuff, even bowls, and now it's all about the playoff. It'd be cool, but I'll take it or leave it, right? I'd take it or leave it right now and not even worry about it. Now, it was a tough day for the offense, like you said, but if I'm going to give my next helmet sticker to anybody, it's going to Kiwon Lacy, 24 carries, 167 yards, a touchdown, a long of 54, averaged 7 yards per carry. It was tough. It was gritty. It was mean. It was violent. And I think I put it on Twitter, man, like, I know I put it on Twitter that, I mean, Kiwon, by golly, he's going to take Ole Miss to a college football playoff by his dang self if he has to. Man, he put some work in today.
And here's another thing is, you know, the special teams put Ole Miss in a tough position from a defensive standpoint.
That's right.
And they limited South Carolina after the muff punt. Ole Miss would eventually get a muff punt of their own. But it just goes to show you that Pete Golding and you and I and Sudu post-Georgia – had this same conversation. Y'all were much more bullish than I was about how there's major problems. I'll be honest. I took a step back and thought, okay, Pete Golding is one of the best in the business. I really felt like, now sure, there wasn't going to be wholesale changes, but I truly felt like that they, being the defense, would go back to the drawing board and figure it out. And they did. They figured it out at Oklahoma, and then they came back and played well here today. Here's the thing. Lenore Sellers is a really good player. And Ole Miss put a lot of pressure on him in the second half. South Carolina came in with some offensive woes on that offensive line. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries. And I felt like Ole Miss came in, specifically in the second half, with a really good defensive game plan. We saw Deshaun Womack, but we saw Cam Franklin get held a lot in the first quarter, a lot in the second quarter. And then he was able to get some pressure in the second half. Will Echols got some pressure in the second half, but I can't say enough about Andrew Jones. He was a disruptor. And I thought T.J. Jottery, Ben, played pretty well too. And in the secondary, remember, they had no Antonio Kite today, so they were kind of backed against the wall. Chris Grace Jr. played pretty good. I mean, they had a couple of busts, but for the most part, I thought the secondary played well. You know, the guy that we've talked about, Jalen Braxton, came in. Sage Ryan, a guy that we've been pretty rough on the last couple of games, I thought Sage Ryan played pretty well tonight, Ben. I thought the defense as a whole really came to play. It was a great game plan by Pete Golding, and the Rebels won this one tonight, no doubt, because of defense.
Ole Miss fans, Chris Beard and the Rebels are back. That means fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. From Malik Dia and Elias Carmadine and other Rebels, that's points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. The NBA is in full swing. Think Ja Morant will go over 4.5 rebounds for the Grizzlies? I do too. How about 24.5 points? Just a few simple clicks and it's winning time. I speak from experience, and if I can do it, anyone can. It's that simple. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS
to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Your final helmet sticker, game ball, whatever, goes to who?
I've got to give it to Suntarian Perkins. You know, he was someone that we've been begging to come off the end, and he came off the end a couple of times tonight. But getting the sack, it was a huge sack, by the way, at the time, getting that interception, and he was spying Sellers a lot tonight. Sellers was pretty good. I don't know if you read through his numbers or not, but at the end of the night, Sellers was 16 of 30, had the two interceptions, had the one touchdown, and a lot of that was because of the one long pass play of 47 yards for the touchdowns. Rushing the football, they had their main running back, Rashawn Faison, only 52 yards and averaging 4.2 yards a carry. You know, at one point, Van Deer in the third quarter, Ole Miss had was just doing nothing. I mean, they were doing nothing on offense, so they really kind of cranked it up in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, that's right. Not a lot of holding fouls called tonight. That offensive line for South Carolina was very advantageous with that Ole Miss defensive front. But, yeah, I kind of agree with JD that the whole defense deserves a helmet sticker tonight. You and I have been kind of rough on that secondary. I kind of go back to the secondary again, Ben. I thought the secondary was good tonight, and I thought it was really good win. And you know, it wasn't one of jubilation really at the end of the game. And you hate to say this was a business trip, but it was one of those things to where – you roll the ball out. You know you're better than South Carolina. You withstand a couple of punches, but you just really felt good as a defense if you could get up two scores, because that South Carolina offense is just not very good, and that's exactly what happened.
I want to give a shout-out, Miss Tracy Ivy. She's in the comments on YouTube, on Twitter. This is Live After Lane, not Life After Lane. Maybe it's too cutesy. Maybe we change it back to the drive home, brought to you by Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. My thanks to Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. So give them a shout, riverlandroofing.com. If you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance coverage, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. That's 601-953-8449. Miss Tracy, the mother of one Jared Ivy. We did the Ivy League all last year. My dude doing big things with the Seahawks in the NFL. And Miss Tracy still supporting those old Miss Rebels in your friendly neighborhood, Ginger Shrek. So thank you, Miss Tracy. We love you. And you're welcome back anytime. All right, my final helmet sticker is probably going to go on the defensive side. Let me double check, because I had it in my brain, then I lost it because I got to talking about all the other stuff. Ah, there it is. I'm giving it to Cedric Beavers, because this was a night. He didn't do a lot stats-wise, but I just want to give him a shout-out because, man, it's been challenging for him. He was a starter all in the spring. He at least thought he'd carved out a role. And then all of the transfers, including the post-spring transfers like Ricky Fletcher, pushed him further and further down. Hurting him even more was he got hurt. So it set him back. He's the fastest dude on the team. And on a night when Antonio Kite, who's been the most consistent cornerback for Ole Miss all year, nothing spectacular, only 21 total tackles, I think three PBUs, not really a lot of playmake. I saw 13 mixing it up. Yes, he got called for a bullcrap penalty as far as interference. But other than that, the fastest guy on the team, Cedric, and yes, I love this one too. Not just said, but Tavarius Banks deserves a helmet sticker as well. So a lot of the defense, man, because this, in my opinion, Brad, was the best defensive performance for Ole Miss this year, right?
Yeah.
Georgia was the worst, and it was the worst. This was the best. And I thought it was the best collective performance, not just having some sacks or getting some play make with your front seven, but the secondary that has been so bad, quite frankly, more often than it's been good. Dead gum, you know, that was a good showing all around with the person the player in Antonio Kite, who's been the most consistent defensive back for you all year. And I thought Sed Beavers was huge in that.
And one more, I'd like to call out Andy Jaffe. Andy made a great play. On the punt return. I'm sorry, the punt recovery that was muffed by South Carolina. You know, interesting, Ben. We talk about the conservative play calling that Lane Kiffin did, and he even made mention of that. And he didn't come out and say it, but what he was saying was Trinidad Chambliss was not throwing the ball very well.
He was.
And they had to do their best to kind of slog through this game. I said before the game, the only way that South Carolina wins is to get into a rock fight. And even when they got into a rock fight, they couldn't win. They just go to show you the talent between this Ole Miss team versus the talent of the South Carolina team. Ben, before we get out of here, I'd like to say, too, where is the SEC? Because I was following it along. It doesn't appear that Bobby Petrino is going to survive at Arkansas. Jeff Levy and Mississippi State get a big win. Hugh Freeze loses at home to Kentucky. You have to wonder, is that job going to be open? Did Mark Stoops save his job at Kentucky? There's so many question marks. LSU's open. Florida's open. I'll be interested to get your thoughts real quick on – yeah, thanks, Ms. Ivey. We appreciate you jumping on, by the way. I'd be interested in your thoughts. Where is this cycle going right now after this week in college football?
Look, Lane's going to be the is the most wanted man in the already – what is the already – the silliest coaching carousel we've ever seen. Certainly in the modern era. For me, I don't think LSU is a real threat for Lane, but I do think Florida is. Still today, after Ole Miss beats South Carolina 30-14, if you made me lay my money, thank God you don't. I would put it on Lane signing an extension, but I've said and been consistent with for 2 weeks, it's a coin flip until he signs the extension that has been on the table for weeks. And it's nothing – I mean, everything he's wanted, average annual salary, NIL, you guys have really given this week. Coaching salaries, upping Billy Glasscock's average annual salary from 16th in the country, if we really want to get specific with the reporting, up to like the top eight, if not top five. Ole Miss is going to deliver anything and everything that is requested, has done that, and he's decided to keep weighing his options. So for me, it all hinges on Lane Kiffin. From the Ole Miss angle, you just need him to make a decision. If he has to make one, if he does make one, but the timeline with the playoff will make it very difficult. You need him to make or give you some type of confirmation in a reasonable and considerate enough time that if Ole Miss does have to make a move, it isn't left wanting. Because while everybody in this cycle, Brad, is going to be trying to sell, for the most part, doubles as homers, Ole Miss would rather be able to talk to John Sumrall than have Auburn scoop him up because they're the one that got to him first, right? And that's where I'm fascinated to see how everything falls. The number one domino is Lane Kiffin. He can keep playing the game he wants to and say, well, I don't handle that stuff in season. It's getting to a point, especially as Ole Miss continues to win, where your hand is getting forced. Until you say something or make something very clear definitively, everybody else is waiting because the pick of the litter as far as this coaching carousel is Lane Kiffin.
And Ben, I'll say this. I've said it before. I said it on a show pregame today. Should Lane Kiffin make a move and go to insert school here? I will say this. It will not be because Ole Miss does not have a pot of money, if you will. It will not be because of financial reasons that Ole Miss will not step up to the plate. Second of all, it will not be because there's some sort of disorganization with the administration, because you look at Chancellor Boyce, you look at Keith Carter, the athletic director, Walker Jones and the Ole Miss Grove Collective, and the collective body, if you will, of this athletic administration, it all works in concert. It's a well-oiled machine. So you would be leading an absolutely incredible, well-oiled machine flush with cash and a really good roster. So with that said, should he make that decision to do that? Ole Miss has never been in as good a position as it has been right now. And someone pointed out to me that should Lane Kiffin go, Ole Miss has been elevated so far with him as head coach that it would be in a perfect position to go get pretty much anybody with the exception of a handful of coaches because of the amount of money that you're going to pay and where the program is should Lane Kiffin leave where it is. Once again, I just think that Ole Miss is in a really good spot with Lane Kiffin as its head coach. I think he's staying, and I think that he's building an incredible program here, and I think they're got one hand in the jar right now of entering the college football playoff because of the schedule before them and how well they're, and most importantly, how well they're playing defensively.
The number one thing is Lane has never been a more wanted man in his profession for someone who's always starved the spotlight, not a spotlight, the spotlight. And he's getting it right now, and he's feeling it a little bit. This has nothing to do with anything other than that. Could he go to Florida? Absolutely. I agree with Brad. I think it still favors him signing an extension with Ole Miss because if he, like, with what he's built here, there's not going to be anything he's lacking. He'll just have to go, well, yeah, I just really want to go to Florida. He'll have to admit that. And that's going to be hard for him to admit because Lane, and this isn't a knock, but he always looks out for number one first. And that's okay in a business that is so cutthroat. Look at what just happened to so many coaches. I have a hard time feeling bad for Brian Kelly, Brad, because the man is crying into $53 million in buyout. These are great problems to have. Let's just be adults about it. The man is, and I'm talking about Lane Kiffin, is feeling himself. He's never been more wanted than he is now. Of course, he's going to play all his options out. LSU, you don't have much of a chance. Florida, you got his ear a little bit. You're tickling his ear a little bit. But it's Ole Miss extension or Florida. I don't think, like, the Dolphins might make some sense, but, like, he wants to be a college coach. So if he moves, I think he moves this offseason. If he doesn't move, Ole Miss, I don't think he's going anywhere until he just gets Alabama, unless he just gets an NFL job. But at that point, Ole Miss will have it won at a level that it never won before, and you have gotten what you want, and all the infrastructure in place will still be in place. Because it used to be I trust Lane Kiffin, and he is everything. I trust Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce and Walker Jones and the real money movers that I know well that have been texting me tonight that have all said, oh, he ain't going anywhere. But if he does, all of them say the same thing. The show rolls on. If your floor, Brad, your floor is promoting Pete Golding and getting a good OC to go with him, that's the best floor Ole Miss has ever had for a coaching carousel hire. I don't think they would go in that direction. I think they would first go after James Franklin. And if they did, like, there'd be so many different guys. Eli Drinkwitz, Clark Lee, pick your guy. Jed Fish, for goodness sake. But a lot of doubles are going to be sold as homers. And right now, while Lane hasn't reached the playoff at Ole Miss, hasn't won his title, he is being treated like he is a grand slam in a cycle where, honestly, they're pretty much all doubles. Ole Miss is in a place where whatever happens, you keep winning, we'll build you the statue at some point, whatever you decide to do. Last thing before we get out of here, the good, the not so good, and the downright ugly. Give me the good, the not so good to start.
The good tonight is Ole Miss and its special teams, with the exception of the punt, fumbled. I thought the special teams were really good tonight, specifically place kicker Luis Carnero. He has been superb for so Ole good. Miss. That was really good tonight. And so maybe not so much special teams, but definitely Lucas Carnero, place kicker. He was fantastic. He allowed Ole Miss to do what they needed to do at the end of the game, getting the two-score lead and closing this thing out.
Absolutely. I love that pick. I think that's absolutely good. The good for me, I was going to go with specialist, maybe an Oscar Bird. The good is what a bounce back for the Ole Miss defense. Oklahoma was a good effort. It was, but there were still some sticking points. What they did today was, for me, more impressive, the most impressive performance so far. The not so good, man, I don't want to nitpick, but Trinidad, this was probably his most inefficient game as a passer. And then the downright ugly, I don't have a lot of it. I'll say what the downright ugly was is that, a win like this, or a post-game show live after Lane with Ben at Spirit Ben and Brad Logan at Brad_Logan on Twitter, both a part of the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, and Philly Von 3. He contributes. I'm the editor. We've had to talk most of this post-game after the 8th win in 9 games for South Carolina about Lane Kiffin rumors. That's the unfortunate thing for me, Brad.
Yeah, and the ugly for me is obviously the Trey Wallace drop punt fumbled that led some points for South Carolina. So I definitely have to shore that up. But the good news is Ole Miss was able to get a punt of their own. And, thanks, J.D. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you listening and following along. And, look, you know, once again, my phone is lighting up. It's buzzing right now. And we are aware of the report. Look, Chase and Neil do wonderful work, and we're aware of the report. We're absolutely aware. And, look, if they say it, it's absolutely truth to it. Once again, during the middle of the season, I think Lane Kiffin's in a good position about where he is. He is wanted by everybody, and that's probably including some NFL jobs. So the reports coming out, absolutely, there's probably a lot of truth to that, because Florida is definitely he is the name for Florida. And so there's no doubt that everybody has to kind of keep their eye to the stone on that. At the end of the day, I think for Ole Miss fans, just breathe and be happy where your feet are. And that is only one loss in conference, the world at your fingertips. And Lane Kiffin, Keith Carter, Dr. Glenn Boyce, they have put Ole Miss in an incredible position from a football standpoint. All of these empty stands behind me were full just a little bit ago. It was an incredible environment. Just enjoy it. And I hope that's what all of you are doing, because this is an incredible ride that Ole Miss football is being put on right now.
All right, let's end it with this. All right, looking at the SEC across the board, Georgia survives Florida. Mississippi State, whoo! Now the Egg Bowl doesn't feel as you know, ominous. Beats Arkansas in Fayetteville. You know, any chance that Bobby Petrino was going to get that job, it's done. Good for Jeff Lebby, man. They should be closer to 7 wins than just 5, but at least they got that SEC win. Ole Miss beats South Carolina. Oklahoma beats number 14 Tennessee. That's a big win for Ole Miss's postseason resume. Kentucky beats Auburn. That's probably kaputs for Hugh Freeze. Your final takeaway as far as the SEC side of things?
Just be grateful for what you have, Ole Miss fans, because, boy, it's really rough in some other areas of the Southeastern Conference. You look down on the plains at Auburn. Mississippi State gets a win, but it's against Arkansas, who's really struggling. South Carolina tonight, boy, they were really, really poor on offense, and Shane Beamer's getting put through it. But then you look at the programs like
– major candidate as – because Brad does great stuff, man. And he had a great interview with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, earlier this week. And he's absolutely right. Like, think about this hiring cycle. Shane Beamer, who has one win in the SEC after a playoff push, realistic as it was or not last year, they were a preseason favorite. Lenora Sellers was a preseason All-American. One SEC win, 9 games into the 2025-26 season, and he's like the front-leading guy for Virginia Tech. That's like – you're going to see a lot of singles and doubles be sold as home runs, and Shane Beamer is a good example of that. Forgive me for interrupting.
No. I mean, and then you look at programs like Alabama. Kalen DeBoer's figured it out at Alabama. Then you look at teams like Texas A&M and Mike Elko, which looks to be a really good hire for Texas A&M. Oklahoma, Tennessee was going – they were going toe-to-toe before end of the press conference, Ben. I don't know how that's kind of shaken out. I don't know who's won or lost that one. And to me, at the top, it's just right now, it's really, really interesting with A&M and Alabama. Two of the best teams in the conference, along with Georgia, that survived the scare tonight from Florida, and they were able to survive. So you got Georgia hanging out there. The question I have is, Ole Miss really needs to finish 11-1. I've said this before, because you start dipping into 10-2, then your best wins are over maybe an Oklahoma or a Tulane who lost the other night, Oklahoma who you beat on the road, who's got a tough next couple of games, maybe an LSU who's fired his coach. So what I'm trying to say is Ole Miss has avoided Alabama, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, all of those teams they've avoided. So you don't have the luxury of saying you have wins over those big teams. So the resume is not great for Ole Miss, but if you win, if you go 11-1, man, it doesn't matter. So that's the good news for Ole Miss. If they win the next couple of games, should be okay.
Yeah, and if you make the SEC championship game, that second loss won't be a real threat to eliminate you, in my opinion, to where if you lose to Florida, which could happen, or State, which could happen, fortunately you play Florida at home. Meanwhile, you know, the Egg Bowl, throw the records out. I mean, we've been around this long enough, Brad. Throw the records out.
Yep.
It is what it is. But next week is the Citadel. Ole Miss will get its 9th win of the year and then get a bye week. And then comes Florida. Am I right? Do I got my math right? Is it Citadel?
No, you're right. It'll be the Citadel, Florida, and then Mississippi State. And when Florida rolls to town, boy, the circuits will be coming with them, because at that point, Lane, if he enjoys the drama, and I think everybody watching understands that he loves it. Anybody that would put a Halloween picture up the day after Halloween, I mean, he's something else to follow him on social channels. But yeah. The Lane Kiffin experience is what I've called it. In Florida rolling to town, it's going to be wild.
It's going to be the Lane Kiffin Bowl, especially if he continues to maintain his silence in regards to committing himself one way or another. As Billy Landis from Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, calls me on the phone to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels beating South Carolina 30-14. A big win. We handed out the helmet stickers, game balls. Check out our stuff, our post-game coverage, full post-game coverage, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. An affiliate of On3, Brad will be there talking to you folks. We come to you every post-game after Ole Miss wins or loses this year. So next week after the Citadel, we will be here too. So I hope you join us. It's been a lot of fun hanging out and talking. I do like kind of the setup of just going to you from the field and after Lane, especially as I can't even talk, you know, you get to the real inside scoop. Maybe we do it the same way for Citadel, or maybe we go live again, but no matter what, we'll be back for live after Lane. Our thanks to Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Brad, tell the folks about our friends.
No doubt. Alan Samuels, located just east of the Oxford Kroger, and we're so grateful of their partnership. I had a chance to visit with Brian and Mason via social channels this week, and they're really excited about the Rebels. And go by and enjoy that Rebel excitement with them and drive away with a great new vehicle today. And be sure and tell them you heard about it on Live After Lane with Ben and I, and they'll give you an extra special deal. I'll hold you to that. So go by and see Mason and Brian this week and or next week, and tell them that you heard about it on Live After Lane, and they'll give you a great deal. We could not do what we do without our friends at Alan Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram right here in Oxford.
And Riverland and Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, B&A Bank, I'm so thankful for my friends, and I'm also thankful for one Brad Logan for joining me for every post game here Live After Lane. Ole Miss gets another one, moves to 8-1, 5-1 in the SEC, continues that push toward not only a college football playoff berth, but a good potential seed and possibly a national championship, the first for Ole Miss since the 60s. The fact that they didn't play particularly well offensively and still won so comfortably is the most encouraging sign for me coming out of that game. To win like that, the way they needed to, shows me that they can win more than just a couple of ways. Their defense can go win them a game, and that's not something I think we knew coming into this one. Thank you, Brad. It was fun. I'll see you on the Spirit here later tonight as we talk to the folks, but also next week for another one of these. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everybody.